WABF. It is 821, 74 degrees. You're with Lori Dubose as we welcome onto Community Contact the City of Fairhope Public Works Director, Richard Johnson. Welcome back, Richard.
Well, thank you, and good morning.
You always have so much interesting information to tell us, and you're just going to give us kind of a recap of all of the projects happening around town. It seems like you can't turn a corner without seeing something.
That is correct. I mean, we're blessed as a community to have the ability to make these improvements to our infrastructure. And I can't start out first without saying thank you to the patience of our citizens and our business owners. Many of these projects have been a long time in the planning and scheduling, and it's always tough when you talk about doing a project and then when you actually start that process, it does have impacts on not only everybody's lives. And the good news is the short-term impacts that may be negative will benefit a long-term impact to having cleaner water, less sewer overflows, better drainage, no flooding, and those type of things. And probably the one that is the biggest that's going on right now as far as having exposure and being right here in the heart of town is our Church Street improvements. And I can't stress enough that it's not a singular infrastructure project. This project involves stormwater drainage, which is being replaced all the way from the gully down by the single tax cemetery and the sewer plant, all the way up to and beyond south of Delamar intersection of Church Street, a complete cast iron and gas replacement, which is we have to by law to replace the old cast iron gas services.
Okay.
And as well as a complete sewer and water upgrade, including every service of every customer along that road, including a lot of the side streets. So it's a major undertaking, and also a particular interest to me is bringing the complete Church Street into compliance with ADA for accessibility on the sidewalks.
Okay.
And so it's a big project. We are kind of at a watershed moment. One of the key things was getting through the intersection with Fairhope Avenue. It opened back to traffic three directions on Monday, and that was a big deal. We have right now the kind of the half block between Delamar and Fairhope is closed. Right now they are connecting all the services, new services, back to the new infrastructure. And we will then move to the next major impact area, which is the intersection of Delamar, and gas will be replacing the services all the way from church to section on Delamar. So there will be a closure there, a total closure starting on the 9th, and then a half closure after the 12th. Because we just all of that infrastructure is in the street proper.
Mm-hmm. Now, as you mentioned, this Church Street infrastructure project started, like I said, Oak, and came on, is coming all the way to Fells.
Yes.
But then shooting up Delamar is the first side street. It's traveled up. You didn't go up Fairhope Avenue, didn't go up Magnolia. Why do Delamar?
It's the gas compliance issue.
Okay.
It is that the opportunity to pass by that and come back at a later date
doesn't make sense.
Does make sense?
Oh, of course not.
There was a cost benefit as well, mm-hmm. as the intersection of Church and Delamar was going to be impacted and closed for that period of time that all the utilities moved through. It makes sense to get it done.
Okay.
and be done with it.
Will there be another so-called side street along the way that you might have to do?
No, very little. I mean, as you know, on most of the intersections, we went small distances both east and west, mm-hmm. to tie back into existing, but that was Delamar will be by far the biggest impact side street.
Okay, all right. It's been fascinating to watch. As many people know, the project was right here in front of us and passing up, going south of us now. And you just don't think about what's under the road you drive on. And to see all of the pipes and concrete boxes and the crew, by the way, I got to watch the crews work a lot through our windows or out our front door. And they really know it, seem to know what they're doing, and they're doing a great job.
I do say that we have a very conscientious and quality contractor who has really worked with us. You know, just the ability for the contractor to be willing to button up before Mardi Gras and get out of town, let us have Mardi Gras and arts and crafts and come back. It's just that's just a quality contractor willing to work with us, understanding the sensitivities and the needs of the community, and we're excited about that. This project has now gotten to the point where we're beyond the halfway point. We're really looking at probably early fall that people will consider us being done. We still, you know, the biggest thing is once all of the infrastructure's work done is done, then the contractor will resurface, because what the new asphalt that you see down is what we call a binder. It's an underlayment. Mm-hmm. And so the last act of the project will be to resurface everything from oak to fails. And it looks like we'll also pick up all of Oak as well as all of Delamar and then restripe it with brand new thermoplast, and so that the last act, which will go very quickly, that's one nice thing about resurfacing, it's a fast process, is that it'll deliver a brand new streetscape for our community.
And how much is the Church Street infrastructure project, and where's the funding coming from?
The total amount is a little over $5 million. And it was a divided fund, meaning Public Works, the general fund covered the improvements to the storm as well as the improvements to the sidewalk system, and as well as a shared cost in some of the resurfacing. And then the other portions were divided up from sewer, water, and gas, which is utility dollars. And with Public Works, you know, we're very fortunate that we do get a portion of impact fees to offset the impacts of development and growth. So we kind of pledged some of our general fund dollars, because this project has been through, it will take place over several budget years. So that's it. But there was no grants, there was no federal dollars. This was
for some reason I was thinking it was the Restore Act or the BP money, but this
not this one. The we do have a $10 million sewer upgrade.
That's what I'm confusing.
That
okay.
is lift stations mm-hmm. and linings and things like that. And this all is complementary, meaning that those upgrades, we can't upgrade the lift stations to pump to the treatment plant unless we have the ability to carry everything to the treatment plant. The sewer line that is being put in here on Church Street is a transmission line collecting from all basically south of here to the treatment plant. So now, you know, it's kind of a strategic thing. We years ago we upgraded the sewer plant to be able to handle more capacity, and now we have to be able to get that volume to the plant, and we have to be able to pump that volume to the plant, and that's just part of this systematic upgrade.
Okay, all right. We're speaking with Fairhope Public Works Director Richard Johnson. It is 8:29, 75 degrees. So now we're on to another closure. And that is Fairhope Avenue between Greeno and roughly around Ingleside. And that's a sewer force main upgrade.
That is correct.
That's where some of the Restore grant money's coming from?
Yes, that is kind of a phase two. If you'll remember, there was a period of time that there was some work from basically Ingleside coming back to the west that went down Fairwood to mm-hmm. Bayou to the plant.
Right, right.
Well, this is just a continuation of that.
Okay.
And it is exclusively sewer work. The good news is this project involves what we call boring, meaning that they use machinery to actually bore the pipe into the ground and pop up in another location. And the good news is the roads really are not getting completely torn up. They're just cut open where they're going to set up the bore and where they're going to come out. And in this case, they're going to basically be boring from Ingleside down to approximately where the little entrance where the car wash and the gas station is. And then when they complete putting that new line in, they'll flip the whole arrangement around and bore under US 98 and come up on Fairhope on the east side of the intersection, and then they'll eventually do that until they get to Bishop Road intersection. It'll kind of daisy chain and jump to the east, and that process goes pretty fast, and we've got a good contractor there as well.
And that is, what's the price tag for that?
Oh, you've got me on that one. I'm not sure exactly. I mean, it's up there. I'm just not, don't have that number right on top of my head.
That's fine. And then also, even though you're not electrical, you know about, we have another project that's closing Nichols today, for instance, a portion of Nichols Avenue in town, and has been intermittently doing tree work and electrical work.
That is correct. And this is part of the electric distribution and transmission upgrades. As you know, there's a new substation there on Nichols. There's a new one being constructed on Morphy. This is allowing our electrical grid to not only be able to take the electric process to those substations and distribute them to all of our customers, but also to upgrade them to the capacity that we need and the reliability that we're seeking to achieve. And you know, the good news about this work is it's aerial mostly, so that means it's contractors working from bucket trucks, stringing, putting new poles, replacing poles, and stringing new line. So it doesn't have a lot of hard impact in the sense that people's curbs and sidewalks are not getting tore up, but they have to block the streets when they're working on those blocks and those locations. But that work moves pretty efficiently, and it's unlike Church Street, which is kind of a slow slog down the road. These guys kind of move from site to site pretty quickly.
And where will that go next?
It is all in that area, and I have been privy to kind of their scheduling, but don't quote me. I think, you know, they do kind of move linear, meaning that the line goes from point A to point B, and right now Nichols is one of the higher impact areas.
And the electrical department is not under the Public Works Department.
No.
Just to be clear.
That's correct.
You're in on a lot of the meetings, but that's not your baby and not your project.
That's correct. And you know, again, one thing to understand is we're a team. We all support each other. And there's never a public works project that doesn't impact the utilities, and there's usually not a utility project that doesn't impact public works. So we are all in the same building, and we all work together, and we, you know, we got a great team.
Yes, you do. You mentioned we're going to kind of circle back to paving, because a recent contract was awarded for a paving contractor, I want to say around $500,000, to have how many streets paved, or give us the highlights of some of those.
Again, this is our annual resurfacing, and that's the one public works project that people never get mad at you about, because they love to see their street get paved in front of their home, and it goes very, very quickly. Usually more than, you know, most people are not impacted more than the day. I think there are somewhere around about 13 or 14 roads in the city that are on that in that contract. You know, some key ones. You know, Fruit and Nut has a lot of through streets, and this year Orange and Pecan are getting resurfaced from Church Street to South Mobile, which are you know, those are half mile long streets that not only serve as residential streets, but they are connector streets to all of the north south and and that area. We are picking up a few others throughout town, and then we are paving some of our older subdivisions out off of Gayford Road. We're doing some work up in Rock Creek, so we're excited about that. We issue a package every year, and one of the things that we do, we keep a running inventory of our roadways and have them graded, so we kind of have a projection of where we want to, what we want to pave next year and the next and next. And it's always tough, because people ask where they're on the list, and then, you know, the economy, we get this much money to pave with, and where it ends is where we end on the list. And so there was a couple of streets that didn't make it this year, but they should make it next year.
Okay. All right. And there seems like there's quite a few contractors in town. I'm guessing like Fiber, ATT, C-Spire, because and sometimes when they bore under, they hit something they're not supposed to hit. Tell us about that.
Absolutely. And that's probably the biggest challenge as a team that we have right now. There's no doubt that, and I think this is overall positive, is that maybe one of the complaints there has been from our citizens is not having a lot of options to high-speed internet, or that the high-speed internet that they have has not been of the best reliability or quality, and that has apparently got attention. Right now, I think there are five different high-speed internet companies that are currently trying to get improve their market share and improve their infrastructure. And every one of them has permitted miles and miles of putting new fiber in the ground to be able to give that option to our citizens for ISP
internet. Is that new, putting the fiber in the ground instead of up in the air?
Yes, and it's for several reasons. Is one, the areas that we still have electrical on aerial on poles, there is a requirement that any subsidiary wires have to be a certain distance away from the electrical distribution wires, and eventually you get the point where there's not enough pole left to hang it. So the only option is put it in the ground.
Well, it makes sense. That I think that would be better, especially the way we have the hurricanes.
Absolutely.
And storms
for a reliability standpoint, it definitely is better. So imagine this, you know, if you pick any historic local street in downtown Fairhope in the Fruit and Nut, right now, before today, there is generally stormwater pipes running in that street somewhere. There's sewer. There's water. There's gas. Good chance that the old telephone wires are there, okay? And now you've got five other folks trying to find a place to put their new service in that doesn't disrupt sidewalks or the gutter system or whatever.
Or and, water mains. Yeah. That seems to be a big one.
Water and sewer. And unfortunately, sometimes it is an honest mistake that it was a utility that was not located, even though they asked for it to be located. Or it was a sloppy mistake, and we do hold those contractors under their permit responsible. If they make a mistake, they have to bear the cost of the repair. But the biggest problem with that is that's fine and good, but if somebody doesn't have water or sewer for a period of time, that's not good for our customers or our citizens.
Doesn't matter whose fault it is. Yes. We can't take a shower.
Yes, exactly. But, you know, the good news is this will pass. Eventually, they'll get their infrastructure in, and I think in the long run, our citizens will have options and choices and hopefully a competitive marketplace for their options on high-speed internet.
And that's very good.
Yes.
Wow. Just a wealth of information. Richard, what else would you like to mention that we haven't thought to bring up or ask yet?
I will tell you that a couple of things that I'm personally excited about. We are out for advertisement on the upgrades to the intersection of Gafer Road and US 98 Greenough Road. As you know, at Twin Beach, we added turn lanes. We're still waiting on the new signals to get here. Again, it's one of those supply chain issues. But we'll be doing the same type of project there. That is funded through the MPO. And as you know, with school traffic, that is a tough intersection. And when you don't have dedicated turn lanes, when somebody is waiting to make a left turn, they're backing the through traffic up. And that will be a big improvement. We should let that contract sometime during the summer. And it's not nearly as involved as the Twin Beach project was because we don't have all the drainage to deal with. And I think it's a 90-day construction schedule on that. So that will be a really good project that will improve not only the safety but the function of that intersection that does get so backed up. And kind of looking ahead, we've gotten our funding agreement for the new roundabout at the location of the Flower Clock. And so we are advancing the preliminary engineering to blow the dust off those original plans and get them updated. And that's going to be fully funded for construction by the MPO in fiscal year 2023, which starts October 1 of this year. So we're excited about that.
Just one project after another.
Yes, ma'am.
One thing I do remember I wanted to ask, all of the sewer force main and the Church Street infrastructure project, how long is that work expected to carry us? Is it 20, 30 years before the city might have to open the streets again and do this? Or
I know
there's no crystal ball.
I can tell you that the material that's being used and the sizing, we're looking at a 50-year service life.
Whoa.
And on the storm drainage, I can tell you with everything that we put back in the ground is reinforced concrete. And even though the design life is 50 years, the reality is it's a 100-year design life. I can say that I don't think in any of our lifetimes, and hopefully not our children's lifetimes, will there have to be any major upgrades. upgrades to that. I mean, that was the goal of the design, and I think, you know, the reality of it is on, like, the capacity of the sewer to carry the flow. Is we'll be building a new sewer plant somewhere out east of town before, uh-huh. because that pipe can carry all the flow for history that that plant will ever be able to process. Wow. So I think hopefully this is, you know, the public works director in 100 years may have to deal with it, but I don't think we'll be dealing with it any time in the next few generations.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Thank you so
much. Thank you.
Richard Johnson, the City of Fairhope Public Works Director, just a wealth of information. If you missed this interview, part of it, or you want to tell a friend, you'll be able to listen to it later at WABF 1480.com.